Talon and Gretson silently followed Azeel and the guard up the spiralling staircase and through a doorway that led them into the heart of the vast temple. He wasn't prepared for what he found waiting for him. Hundreds of elves sat along the semicircle that surrounded the main floor. At the centre of the gathering, 7 elder elves sat at a long table. Queen Araveel was among them. She offered Talon the slightest of nods, and he was heartened that he had her vote at least, or so he assumed by the way she had treated him. The guard led them to stand before the council, whose table and chairs were set on a higher platform so that they loomed over them, staring down with blank faces. Talon glanced at the elders, unable to imagine how old they might actually be. He would have judged them to be in elder years had they been humans. Even the queen appeared to be at least 60, though Talon knew it was more likely 1,000. She had been alive at least 300 years ago, when the elves first came to Agora.
"Raliad Azeel," said the queen in a loud, authoritative voice, "you are charged with breaking one of our most sacred laws, giving a mortal a ring of power. How do you plead?"
"Guilty, my queen."
A small murmur escaped the crowd. Talon looked to the council, and they too seemed slightly surprised by his plea.
"Do you wish to defend your actions?"
"I do," said Azeel.
"Very well, we shall hear your argument." "Might I sit? I'm afraid that this tale shall be a long one."
The queen nodded and raised her hand. From the floor, 2 cubes of stone rose up behind Azeel and Talon. Talon took his seat and glanced over at Gretson, who sat at the bottom row of benches just off to his right. She offered him a quick wink. Azeel began his story, starting with the visions that came to him in the Cave of Dreams years before Talon was born. He explained the contents of Talon's star scroll, and then spoke of his time in Falnos, where he had been researching the plant and animal life. When he finished the telling with Talon's final departure, the council turned from him with faces still unreadable and leaned in toward each other to whisper quietly for a moment. Soon they parted, and the queen settled her gaze on Talon.
"And what have you done with the ring since you have had it?"
Araveel asked. Talon glanced at the elders.
I've tried to help my people,"
he said, trying to speak with confidence.
"How have you helped your people?" asked one of the elders.
"I have helped to free hundreds of them from 2 different slave ships."
"You speak of the ships docked in our harbour?"
"Yes, sir. We've renamed them Freedom and Redemption,"
he said with a smile. The council, however, did not seem amused.
"Have you killed with the power of this ring?"
Talon thought to lie, but then realized the folly in that train of thought. They could probably overhear him, even now.
"Yes, I have killed those who were trying to kill me, but I have murdered no one."
The crowd spoke amongst themselves in quick, hushed whispers.
"And the slaves that you have freed, have they killed Agorans?"
Talon thought of Argath pushing the bound men overboard.
"Yes, sir,"
he said, hanging his head.
"Raliad Azeel," said the elder, "this is your defence? You have broken our laws, and now many humans of Agora have died. How can you still justify your actions?"
"Many have been saved as well," said Azeel, "and there should be no tears spilled for the men who would make others their slaves. You have not seen the scum, or how they are treated. I remind the council that we elves outlawed slavery 1,000s of years ago, and we have no dealings with Agora's scum traders. The practice is deplorable. I believe that if anyone has a chance to make a change in Agora, then it is Talon Windwalker."
"If I am not mistaken, Talon Windwalker would have been killed by Chieftain Winterthorn had you not intervened in Falnos,"
said another council member, this one female.
"That is true," said Azeel, chin held high.
"And what of those who might have lived had you not intervened? You took a glimpse into the future, then you took it upon yourself to change it."
"Yes, I did," said Azeel, "but no matter what punishment you hand down, it will be no worse than the one that awaits me."
"Explain yourself," said the elder.
"When I saved Talon from the chief's son, I put in motion events that would lead to my death at the hands of one of his descendants, one who would not have been born had I remained an observer."
Talon turned, shocked, and looked to Azeel. The elf still held his head high. The elders, too, were staring at him, as if that was the last thing they expected to hear.
"When will this happen?"
asked the queen.
"In roughly 200 years,
said Azeel. The queen lifted a hand and spoke words in Elvish. Talon jumped when an energy globe suddenly flashed into existence and surrounded the council members. Through the shimmering force field he could barely make them out. He guessed them to be speaking, though he could hear nothing through the veil. Talon eyed the crowd, who seemed to be anticipating the decision as much as he. Azeel, however, seemed to have accepted whatever the verdict might be, for he glanced at Talon and offered him a smile. The silencing globe disappeared, and the queen rose from her chair. The entire gathering rose as well.
"Raliad Azeel, we have come to a decision?"
"Yes, my queen."
"Considering that your actions in this matter have condemned you with the knowledge of your death, which is a curse upon itself, we have decided upon a minimal sentence. Azeel, you are hereby forbidden from leaving Eladrindelia or interacting with anyone of another race for the course of 200 years. Do you accept this verdict?"
Azeel looked to have more to say and seemed mildly surprised by the decision. Nevertheless, he bowed his head to the council.
"If that is the council's wish, then I shall respect and uphold it." "Very well," said the queen. "Now, for the matter of the magic ring, Kyre, Talon, would you please step forward and show us?"
Talon took a few paces and stopped, lifting the blue-gemmed ring up to them.
"Tell us, what does the ring do for you?"
"Well, it makes me stronger and faster. It helps me to heal as well."
"Show us," said the oldest-looking male.
I can't really show you. It only works when I really need it to."
"If I may,"
said Azeel, with a raised hand. The queen nodded.
"Thank you, my queen. I designed the ring to be reactionary. I poured a piece of myself into the gem, if you will. It can decide whether or not to give the host strength."
"And what were the limitations that you put on the ring?" asked the eldest.
Azeel glanced at Talon.
"If it pleases the council, I would rather not disclose that information to the host."
"We understand," said the queen. "Do not be alarmed," she said to Talon before lifting her hand and enclosing him in a globe of energy.
He stood there in the center, not daring to touch the shimmering wall of energy. Through it he could hear nothing. He could barely make out Azeel's figure beside him, and guessed that the disturbance was created to guard against lip-reading. After what Talon guessed to be 5 or 10 minutes, the globe disappeared with a weak pop. The council was staring at him.
"We have come to a decision," said the queen. "Talon, Windwalker, you are hereby ordered by the Elder Council of Eladrindelia to hand over the ring Kyre immediately."
Silence filled the temple chamber, and all eyes settled on Talon. He looked to Azeel, who only offered a frown.
"May I ask why?" said Talon.
"You would dare question the council?"